Hey guys, it's Joanna, and welcome back to Beyond the Test, Connecting Communities Through Pathology, a podcast from the CAP Foundation. Before we start, I want to be honest with you for a minute. When we first launched this podcast, we didn't really have a clear direction. That's not to say the guest stories and topics we've covered weren't important. They absolutely were. We've had some incredible conversations and shared stories that highlight the impact pathology has on patients and communities around the world. But over the past year, we've been thinking a lot about who this podcast can help the most. And let's be real, there's a pathology workforce shortage. We need more people entering the field, staying in the field, and helping shape what comes next. So moving forward, we're focusing on the people who are going to carry pathology into the future: medical students, residents, fellows, and early career pathologists. This podcast is for you. Every episode will feature someone who's maybe one or two steps ahead of where you are right now. People who remember what it was like to choose pathology, survive residency, apply for fellowships, land that first job, find mentors, deal with imposter syndrome, and figure out what kind of pathologist they wanted to become. We're going to have real conversations about the things people don't always talk about: the wins, the challenges, the lessons learned, and the advice they wish someone had given them earlier. My hope is that you'll walk away from each episode feeling a little more connected, a little more confident, and maybe even a little more excited about where your own journey in pathology could take you. So with that, let's get started. If you've ever found yourself Googling forensic pathology at midnight, maybe after watching a true crime documentary, maybe after a rotation that completely surprised you, or maybe because you just had a feeling there was something there, then this episode's for you. Today's guest is Dr. Jenna Ungst, a 2025 recipient of the CAP Foundation's Sparking Interest in Pathology Award. This award recognizes individuals who are doing something incredibly important: helping more people discover pathology and showing learners why this specialty is worth exploring. In our conversation, we talk about what drew her to forensic pathology, her project, and what it's like navigating the early stages of a pathology career. Whether you're still figuring out what specialty fits, already on the pathology path, or just curious about where this field can take you, I think you're going to get a lot out of this conversation. Hi, Dr. Ungst. Thank you for joining us today. Before we dive into your project, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and share a little bit about your path in pathology?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jenna Ungst. I am an incoming PGY1 at University of Texas Medical Branch, which is down in Galveston, just outside of Houston, going into AP and CP, anatomic and clinical pathology. I'm also a master's public health candidate at Georgia State University, concentrating in epidemiology. Pretty excited to be finishing that this semester. It's been a long road. And then just generally, overall, my path into pathology, I was very lucky in that I had the opportunity to work at a medical examiner's office, which is down in Atlanta, DeKalb County, prior to pursuing medical school. And so I did a lot of administrative and medical education, and they were very kind and let me participate in autopsies and sit along and, you know, learn the histology and go over microscopics with them. The rest is history. Everything just kind of clicked for me.
So why forensic pathology? Did it just kind of fall into it, or do you always have an interest in that?
Yeah, so that's a fair question. Forensic pathology is something I think a lot of people don't really realize is an option, and it certainly wasn't for me. Getting started, you know, a long time ago, I had these kind of disparate interests, which I think a lot of us do. We don't really know pathology even is an option going in. And so I had interest in infectious disease, and I always liked, you know, detective shows and investigations. And I always thought the idea of forensics was very interesting, but I was more so going down the infectious disease route. And my brother, actually, I have a twin brother, same as Kyle. He is a gem. He's actually applying to pathologist assistant school right now, so maybe we can start practice or something. He was originally interested in becoming an autopsy technician. And I remember thinking, you know, we want to do what? I really kind of sparked my interest. And so I pursued some workshops at the Forensic Anthropology Center in Knoxville, Tennessee, lovingly known as the Body Farm. They do quite a bit of research there. And I took a skeletal pathology course and a remains recovery course. And, you know, obviously kind of digging around online as well. And I met the most inspiring forensic pathologist there. Her name is Rachel Geller. She's now the fellowship program director down at the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. But she was just a fellow at the time. And she was so excitable. And her passion was like infectious. And she kind of helped me realize that forensic pathology is a great way to merge all of these interests, right? And so I've always liked teaching as well. I've always loved outreach. I love data, you know, as well as just the practice of pathology, kind of giving people these necessary answers. She helped me realize that it was a viable career option and helped me kind of merge all these things together. So forensics kind of just, you know, got me early. And I have interest in other types of pathology as well. I during my rotations, heme path was really interesting to me as well, search path, but I think forensics has got me in a chokehold.
That's interesting because you're not the first person to mention Dr. Geller as kind of a mentor and a resource. So we're hoping to get her on a future episode. So fingers crossed. But yeah, that's great to hear.
Her energy is just insane. And I don't know where she finds it all. But she really does reach out and do a lot of work with all the students, even applying to med school. She like read all of my personal statements, all of my secondaries. Like I credit her with the process of getting into med school and not losing my sanity. She was fantastic.
So how did you first learn about the CAP Foundation Sparking Interest in Pathology Award? And what made you decide to apply for it?
So I learned about the award relatively early in medical school. I got pretty involved with pathology education outreach through virtual PathSig and Match to Path. So we would do some work every year where we go pile all of the different awards and try to see, you know, what funding opportunities are out there to help support students and trainees that are interested in pathology. And I think CAP does a great job of making that information very accessible. It's one of the first things that pops up when you Google funding opportunities. And so that's how I stumbled upon it.
I love hearing that because that's honestly what we hope happens. And it's actually why these programs exist. Someone searching for funding, looking for opportunities, maybe just clicking around online and they discover an award that helps them take an idea from this would be cool someday to I'm actually doing this. Awesome. So your project focuses on creating free open access forensic pathology education models for learners at different stages of training. Can you tell me just more about what your project is and kind of what inspired you to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my experience getting involved in forensic path, traditionally, it's kind of a closed off field, right? Like safety concerns, privacy concerns, especially for students kind of earlier on in their career trajectory, high school, undergrad, where we are starting to see more interest in forensic pathology emerge very early. Those opportunities aren't necessarily available to those students just because where they're at in the educational timeline. But given this massive workforce shortage in forensic pathology, a lot of the pathologists just simply don't have the time to facilitate full rotations or shadowing. And I think that's something that we don't always realize as students when we're reaching out and trying to engage with a prospective specialty, just how time consuming that is for the other side. And so trying to fill this resource gap for these students and create more opportunities for them to get exposed. We had done a survey through the National Association of Medical Examiners Workforce Development Committee back in 2023, which was recently published just a couple of weeks ago through BMC Medical Education Open Access. So anybody who wants to read it, shout out to that. And we identified some of these gaps. We did a dual survey population, educators that were facilitating medical examiner and coordinator education programs, and the people that are interested in forensics, and then overlap that to try to see where the gaps were. And we saw multiple qualitative themes from our respondents. Getting access to high quality educational modules was something where there was unfortunately a deficit, you know, especially things that are open access. And so we were hoping to kind of fill that gap by generating this free open access learning platform that had multiple functionalities and kind of help fill those gaps in conjunction with some of the existing resources like Path Elective. They have a fantastic library of educational resources for all different types of pathology. And so we built off of that model and created something in conjunction with the learning platform called the Pathology Scholar Certificate Program, which was piloted at Wake Forest School of Medicine through their pathology department. And so that program is now hosted on our learning platform as well. So we've got a couple different things here going on. We've got the modules where anybody can go in and they can learn about the basics of medical legal death investigation or forensic pathology and public health, understanding how it interfaces with data, mass fatality incidents, death certification, some of these core foundational concepts. And when you complete that module, it generates a certificate. And then on the other end, we have the certificate program where you can upload those certificates that you complete both on our learning platform or through a website like Path Elective or AB Paths Primer. And once they upload a certain number of certificates and do a few shadowing experiences, they get this final certificate and they can add that to their residency application or their medical school application, which I think is really helpful for some of these students that are in more rural, underserved areas and might not be able to drive 20 minutes to go to an ME office to get this exposure. So the big idea was just trying to make pathology education more accessible and then also taking this super passionate group of students that have stumbled upon pathology and making them so that when they do go to their in-person teach-ins or, you know, they're interfacing with these pathologists, they're impressing them with all of their knowledge and they're like, oh, that's a macrophage. That's a neutrophil, right? Like we want our scholars to come out with a good foundational knowledge set.
The last component of the learning platform is an educational opportunity finder, where just like you might theoretically want to buy a pair of jeans from a Levi's store, you could go to their website and enter your zip code. Well, we applied that same concept to educational opportunities across the world. We created a pretty comprehensive database for learners at all education levels, ranging from high school to fellows, international medical graduates, pathologist assistant students. Those learners can go to our educational opportunity finder, select their education level, and enter their location, and that will populate a list of learning opportunities within a specific geographic radius that are tailored to where they're at in their career, and they can reach out and hopefully set something up.
Yeah, and that's great, especially for those that might not really understand the different gaps there might be for those that are in rural and underserved areas. I mean, I grew up in Chicago, so that stuff like that never truly crosses your mind that like for some transportation might be an issue or just getting access to the resources is just already putting you behind somebody that is in a major city that might be able to access that more quickly. So it's really cool that you're helping to close that gap.
Thanks.
Were there any surprises or challenges you encountered while developing your project?
Yeah. So I don't know about surprises per se. Thankfully, it was something I kind of foresaw up front. But once you build a project like this, it doesn't stop. Sustainability funding was a major thing that I had to kind of plan for early on. We established the learning platform with the CAP, and then the National Association of Medical Examiners provided us sustainability funding so that we were able to do the startup. And now we can grow and expand. Aside from funding, obviously, it's a full learning platform. And I myself, I'm an incoming resident. I don't know all things about pathology, nor will I probably ever, right? And so building a really nice, comprehensive team of passionate people like myself was really important. And so NAEM supported us also in starting a whole committee. This learning platform was the precipice for this, right? And so we started the Future Forensic Pathologist Committee, which has 40 people in it right now from all different stages of their education. We have, you know, medical students, residents, fellows. We're trying to recruit some people that are from other education programs like PhD candidates, just so that we're getting like a full spectrum of expertise. So that, you know, we're tapping into this group consistently to understand what their needs are. As a med student, you know, it's easy to like be able to articulate what your needs are at that given time. But a lot of times when we're working on these medical education projects, it's hard to understand because even like 2 years out, things change in medical education so rapidly that it's important to engage people at these different levels. So I think funding being the most important thing, and then having this group of people that I can count on and can help build this resource with together.
Did you have a particular module that was your favorite, or is there one that you're especially excited for people to explore?
Yeah, so I really like Dr. James Gill. He did a death certification webinar that I was really excited to integrate. Dr. Gill has been a mentor of mine as well for several years. And he's also very involved in CAP. And he's just, for as accomplished as he is the most laid back, kind, supportive person. He's very modest for his achievements. He's really excited to be able to take some of the work that he's done and put that on our learning platform. I think he does a great job introducing basic concepts. And he does a lot of case-based learning as well, which makes things a lot more interesting. So that was probably one of my favorites, and it's also one of our most popular modules to date. The mass fatality incidents with Joyce DeYoung, who is now one of the deans up in Michigan. She's also doing incredible things in medical education and pathology. I think that one was really fascinating. And then the public health one as well, just because public health has, you know, a special place in my heart. Going forward, we're looking at doing a bunch of different exciting topics. Some more like specialized and for different stages of learning. Especially we're focusing on more so on resident and fellow support, because a lot of our current topics are more basic foundational. And so we are trying to match those with the forensic pathology in-service exam data, which is an exam that the forensic pathology fellows take about midway through their program to try to see where they're at and what they need to focus on for the remainder of the year. So we're taking some of those areas where it seems like people are kind of struggling with, a lot of them kind of like administration and quality assurance or court testimony. And so we're trying to address some of those in our upcoming modules.
That's great. So many people have these different innovative ideas, but they never take the next steps to do that. What would you say to someone that kind of has an idea, but is maybe afraid to move forward with it? What advice would you have for them?
I think the biggest advice that I could give anybody is to start before you're ready. It's good to have all of your ducks in a row the best that you can. Try to foresee things that might come up and, you know, do some contingency planning. But at the end of the day, the most important step to getting any small or large project then is simply getting started. And I think that pathologists are generally a very supportive and excitable group of people. And so if you go to a trusted mentor or even a mentor you've never worked with before and somebody you've seen online and like, you know, you really would love to collaborate with them, try reaching out. And sometimes you might not get a response, which is okay. But for 50 no's, you're going to get one yes. And that one yes is going to absolutely change your life. I think there are a lot of people that love projects, medical education or otherwise, and so would be very supportive.
For listeners who maybe never considered forensic pathology or even just pathology in general as a career path, what do you want them to know about the field and the different opportunities it offers?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a workforce shortage, which is difficult, but also a great opportunity for competitive salaries and negotiating a fantastic work-life balance. And so it's a field that's rapidly growing. I think pathology is a really exciting and rewarding field. The salaries are on the rise. It's generally not something that most students or trainees think about. But once you find it and you start meeting the people, you're going to find that it's a very rewarding and exciting field. So I would strongly encourage you to consider it. Or even if you're considering something that's a different field that maybe runs in parallel, pathology in general works in collaboration with a lot of different specialties. We work with surgeons and we work with hospitalists. We provide the data that's very important to supporting the entire continuity of care for a patient. And so with forensic pathology specifically, I know one of the big concerns that might dissuade a lot of people is the opportunity for patient interaction or even interaction with other medical providers that we might not necessarily see in a medical legal setting. But the interactions that you have with family members, the interactions you have with juries, with attorneys, they're actually very rewarding. I think that when I talk to some of my clinician colleagues, especially some that work in like the emergency room, their patients don't always come back and say thank you. But in the forensic setting, 9 times out of 10, you are providing answers that those people cannot find anywhere else. And so family members are some of the most rewarding people that you can possibly work with. And so I would strongly encourage people to explore not just forensics, but all of pathology. I think the learning platform is a great resource. Path Elective is a great resource. Your local pathologists, if you just cold call and reach out, those are great people. And even if you decide to ultimately not specialize in pathology, I think having a good understanding of where it fits and how to interact with your pathologist is really nice. And so strongly encourage that for anybody that might be interested.
That's great. Thank you. I don't have a medical background, so I don't know much about pathology until I actually started working here. But I'd say like the only real experiences I ever heard was like forensics or forensic pathology and like true crime and stuff like that. So it's interesting to see like how expansive pathology actually is. So it's good to hear and understand how everything just kind of like works together. That's just, it's so interesting to me.
I like to think of forensic pathology as the gateway drug. We have media working for us. Everybody likes CSI. And so we're like, hey, we promise. It might not be as well lit, but I promise everything here is very interesting.
Before we wrap up, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Just in general, one last plug for forensic pathology. I feel like it's one of the specialties that really allows you to contribute simultaneously to medicine. You're contributing to research, to education, to public health, the justice system. It's very intellectually challenging. It's meaningful. It offers a lot of opportunities that many students don't realize exist until they're exposed. So again, one last shout out, reach out to your pathologist, take advantage of these resources that are online. We're excited to have you here. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. Start before you're ready. That's my favorite takeaway from today's conversation. Whether that's applying for an opportunity, reaching out to a mentor, starting a project, or exploring a career path you're curious about, you don't have to have everything figured out before you take the first step. Sometimes the best opportunities come from simply being willing to begin. If you'd like to find any of the resources mentioned in today's episode, be sure to check out the show notes. And if you'd like to support programs like the Sparking Interest in Pathology Award and the many other grants, awards, and opportunities helping shape the future of pathology, visit foundation.cap.org. Don't forget to follow us on social media and be sure to like, follow, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Until next time, I'm Joanna. Thank you so much for listening. Keep making connections, keep making an impact, and remember, don't wait until you're ready. Start now. We'll see you next time.